Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The truth is, there was a misreading of just how bad an economy we inherited. Now, that doesn't, I'm not laying the same, but it's now our responsibility. So the second question becomes, did the economic package we put in place, including the Recovery Act, is it the right package given the circumstances we're in?
Vice President Joe Biden on This Week with George Stephanopoulos admitting that, given the latest employment numbers, the Obama administration may have whiffed in estimating the seriousness of the economic downturn. Of course, he thinks the stimulus package is the right package, given the circumstances. But Paul Krugman and a former Clinton advisor named Laura Tyson and a lot of Democrats in Congress wonder whether that last stimulus package was big enough. Biden thinks it was. We just need time to roll out phase two of the first stimulus. Here he is again.
Look, what we have to do now is we have to properly, adequately, transparently, and effectively spend out this $780 billion.
That's your job. You're in charge of it.
That is my job. And I think we're doing it well.
The stimulus promised jobs in infrastructure and jobs in transportation. So far, it seems to have underdelivered. Joining us now is one of the men at the center of that discussion, and especially the new transportation bill, which could be, he hopes, about a $500 billion bill. Jim Oberstar, congressman from Minnesota. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for inviting me on your program.
Well, thanks for coming on. Address what Joseph Biden was saying, some of the things that I asserted there in the intro. Has there been a little bit of a disappointment with the impact that the first stimulus bill had?
Well, first of all, I think it's pretty hard to have underestimated the seriousness of the economic problems the country is facing. I proposed a stimulus package in December of 2007. We actually moved one through the House finally in September under veto threat by the Bush administration, $30 billion in highway and transit and water and wastewater treatment funding, part of a $60 billion package. Eventually, we got a $770 billion stimulus with President Obama's support. But that should have been roughly $600 billion in infrastructure. Mm-hmm. $300 billion of that $700 was in tax cuts, for which no colleague that I am aware of has received a thank you note from any constituent. But people do know that roads and bridges and wastewater treatment systems are being built. The recovery, I'm holding hearings, as I committed to do, and warned the state DOTs that every 30 days we're holding a hearing on their progress and accomplishments. So as of the end of May, of the $27 billion in highway and transit and highway safety funding under the stimulus, $14.4 billion had been obligated. 4,366 projects had been approved in all 50 states and the three territories and District of Columbia. 4,100 projects are out to bid. 2,300 have signed contracts for $6.5 billion. And 1,243 projects are underway with 21,000 jobs on site. That's the end of May. Our figures that we will hold hearings on in the next in 2 weeks from now will show in excess of 50,000 construction jobs underway.
So for all the projects that are underway, has it been disappointingly slow in some regards? Was the shovel readiness, remember that phrase, of some of these projects oversold to us?
No, it wasn't at all. Projects were designed, and they had to be designed, engineered, environmental impact statement completed, right-of-way acquired, and down to final design and engineering, all that was needed was to go out to bid. Now, here is the process. States have to, 7 days after enactment, the Office of Management and Budget notified Federal Highway Administration of its allocation. 10 days later, Federal Highway Administration did the calculations for each of the state and under existing federal formula, notified them of their allotment, their allocation. And then states proceeded to advertise for bids. You have to have bids out for 30 days on the street, and contractors submit their bids. Then it takes 10 days to evaluate and make a tentative award. Then you wait another 10 days for bid challenges, and then bids are awarded. Total of 60 days elapses, and then contracts get underway. And then there's a misperception. The misperception is, the money is out there, but the project's not underway. The process is then the bid is awarded, the contractor starts work, bills the state pays the contractor, and then submits the voucher to the federal government, and is then repaid by the Federal Highway Administration electronically overnight. So the process has gone very, very quickly, very much as we anticipated, as we provided for in our legislation. States are reporting weekly to my committee and to the U.S. DOT, Department of Transportation.
Yesterday, Speaker Nancy Pelosi threw her weight behind a full transportation bill. She called it a great jobs bill. I have the feeling that's a smart thing to say in these times. A significant amount of spending will probably be treated as great for jobs. But can you point to things in the bill that if we weren't in this terrible situation with jobs might not be there? Did you go back and not just submit your wish list for transportation, but specifically tailor it to create jobs?
I completely transformed the Department of Transportation, the Federal Highway Administration, and the Federal Transit Administration in this legislation. We can't ask people to continue paying for a program that doesn't work. This is a user pay program. You pay your money at the pump when you buy gas, and you drive away on, you hope, an improved roadway or on an improved or new transit system. Well, it's taking 3 years to do a simple mill and overlay, grind down the road surface, put it back in place. 3 years to get through the permitting process. 14 years from start to finish for a transit project. We changed that all in this legislation. We restructured the Department of Transportation, created Office of Undersecretary for Intermodalism, an intermodal council, bring all the modal administrations into one place. They haven't done that in 43 years of a Department of Transportation. We're going to make them do that.
I know
develop
that.
Strategic plan, have an office of project expediting, condense the time for transit projects from 14 years to 3 years, an office of livability. We're going to make this program work.
I noted that there was, in fact, a provision for an undersecretary of intermodalism.
Yes.
I've never seen that phrase before.
Well, it was in the Intermodal Surface Transportation Efficiency Act of 1991. Senator Moynihan joined with me to include an authorization for an assistant secretary for intermodalism. It was never implemented.
I will admit my ignorance. What is intermodalism?
It means bringing each of the modes of transportation, highway, federal aviation, federal maritime administration, federal transit administration, federal motor carrier safety administration, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, the Research and Information Technology Administration. Those are all separate modes. Within the Department of Transportation, each has their own office, their own agency, their own head. They're supposed to meet. That's why we created the Department of Transportation in 1966. And I was on the staff of my predecessor at the time when we did that at Lyndon Johnson's request. Bring together 34 government agencies that had responsibility for transportation to make it work efficiently. It hasn't worked.
I'm glad I asked that ignorant question. I got an illuminating answer. Also illuminating, and we have this on our site at WNYC.org on the Brian Lehrer Show, we have your handwritten transportation proposal. You have very good handwriting. There's a lot of circles and arrows. How do you feel about the, I think it was the Minnesota Post who got their hands on it and printed that? Are you proud of that? Did you want that out there?
Well, I wrote it to explain in a graphic way what I plan to do, and I showed it to numbers of people and said, "Oh, just keep this handy here, keep it quiet. Don't publicize it."
Right.
But it's got out. It's gotten to be quite a piece on the web, and someone said, one of the senators said we ought to put that in the Smithsonian. Well, it has taken 750 pages of legislative language to translate that schematic into a legislative initiative.
I think a graphologist would also say that you bold strokes characterize not only your policies, but literally your handwriting. My last question is, you know, talk about what you think the Obama administration's motivations are in saying that they'd maybe rather do incremental bills than this big $500 billion proposal. Just scared of having that huge number out there being able to be used against them by Republicans?
I'd be only speculating to know, crawl into Larry Summers' mind and Rahm Emanuel's mind.
You don't have a diagram of what that would look like?
No, I sure don't. I think it would be a big goose egg. they simply, those grand strategists over there, Geithner and Summers and the rest of them, never had a number two shovel in their hand or a callus on their fingers. They don't know what a real job is. And what we need to do is invest in something that people understand. They know what they get for their highway user fee. They don't know what happens to the rest of their tax dollars, but they sure know that if they pay at the pump, they'll get a better road system. And I just think that there is no understanding of those high policy advisors. No matter to me, we've reported our bill from subcommittee on a unanimous bipartisan vote. We're ready to go to the floor anytime the speaker will agree. And she is in agreement on a six-year bill. And we have to have sustainability for funding of surface transportation programs. That's why the interstate highway system was built. That's how the Highway Trust Fund has worked, that contractors and state DOT planners can look ahead 5-6 years and know that the money will be there for projects that take years to complete.
James Oberstar is a Democrat from Minnesota. And Congressman Oberstar, one last thing. Help me increase the flow of traffic on my next segment. What was your favorite book as a kid?
Book as a kid?
Yeah. We're going to be talking about children's books next.
Oh, what's yours? My goodness. I grew up during World War II, and there was a whole series on this World War II fighter pilot, Red something or other. Red Adair, I think his name was. I'm not sure, but gosh, I brought home stacks of those books from the library and read them voraciously.
Yeah, transportation, airplanes. Well, thanks very much, James Oberstar. Thank you.
Bye.
And as I just mentioned, we'll be talking about what are the best books to read with your kids, because studies show that during the summer, the brains tend to stagnate. Our number is 212-433-9692. Children's books for the summer, 212-433-9692. That's just in a moment. Stick with us.